Hi, I'm Justin Boyd, and welcome to a special edition of the Watchers in the Basement. Yep, I'm by myself this time. I just got out of watching the new movie, the new DC movie, Blue Beetle, and I want to share my thoughts with you real quickly. But before I get to my thoughts on the movie, I want to hit you with the movie facts. As I'm recording this, it's August 17th. Blue Beetle actually officially hits theaters August 18th, 2023. The movie is the 14th, technically the 14th movie of the DC Extended Universe, also known as the DCEU. But I consider it to be the 15th because, of course, Zack Snyder's Justice League came out in 2021. There's two Justice League movies. There's two Suicide Squad movies. The DCEU has been a big mess. It's going to be ending very soon. But I'm going to rank all the movies later on, but we'll get to that later. This movie, while it's a DCEU movie, James Gunn has said recently, and James Gunn, of course, the director of the Suicide Squad, and of course, he worked for Marvel for many years with the Guardians of the Galaxy films. He is now the co-CEO of DC Studios. And for his new DCU, which starts in 2025 with Superman Legacy, he said that Blue Beetle, the character will continue, whereas this film that introduces the character will not be set in the DCU, but the character will be in his DCU. So it's kind of confusing, but I'm glad to see that this character is going to continue in the future, because I really think this character deserves to continue. I think will really fit in well with the tone that I believe that James Gunn's going to establish in the DCU. This movie was originally going to be an HBO Max film. It was going to be a streaming film, but was changed to a theatrical release. And I think that they made the right call there, because after seeing this movie, I was like, yeah, if I saw this movie on streaming, I would have been like, wow, this should have been in the theaters, because it definitely plays bigger than a Netflix streaming movie that we watch all the time. These action movies that come out that, you know, are not that great. And, I think this movie is a cut above those kind of movies, and it's got a budget of $120 million. The box office, obviously the movie hasn't officially come out yet, so the box office, we don't know. It's projected to be kind of a low opening weekend. But I think that might not be the case. Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. It's got a runtime of 2 hours and 7 minutes. It's directed by Angel Manuel Soto, and the cast includes Sholo Maridueña, Adriana Barraza, Damian Alcazar, Raul Max Trujillo, Elpidia Carrillo, Melissa Escobedo, Brunia Marquezine, Harvey Guillen, Becky G, Susan Sarandon, and George Lopez. It's a very, the cast, it's a smaller cast for like a, what we would, you know, for a bigger movie, but it's a cast that really, I think it's well casted. I think they do a good job, especially with the lead. Obviously, Sholo Maridueña, he is from Cobra Kai. He plays Miguel on Cobra Kai, and his version of the Blue Beetle, which is Jaime Reyes, is a very similar portrayal to what he does with Miguel. And I think he's a very likable actor, and he's also very young, so you can definitely see him playing this role for years to come. So that's also a good reason why James Gunn's continuing this character on in the future. And the thing about this movie is it's a character that I don't think a ton of us in the general population or, you know, general audience are familiar with. I know, like for myself, you know, I'm way into these comic book movies. And as a kid, I always liked DC comic books and their characters, but the Blue Beetle's not one that I was super familiar with. And my background with the character, it's pretty limited. Like, the character was featured in an episode of Smallville. Smallville is one of my favorite shows. And he was featured in like a one-off episode in the final season. And it was actually the Jaime Reyes version of the character. So that was kind of cool. And then I also, in Injustice 2, which is a fighting video game. It's like a Mortal Kombat style video game with the DC characters. Jaime Reyes, Blue Beetle, is a playable character. So that's pretty much my extent before seeing this movie. And I also this week to kind of prepare for this podcast, I read a bunch of comics for Jaime Reyes' version of Blue Beetle. So I've learned a lot this week, but before this week, I didn't know much about the character. And I really think part of what this movie really does well is it introduces a character that not many of us know about. It's a really good like introduction to the character. And I think that's really important because, you know, this is not Superman. It's not Batman. You know, like this is a character that not too many of us know about, you know, and like I said, Jaime Reyes is the third Blue Beetle. The first Blue Beetle was, the character's name is Dan Garrett. And that character, you know, I mean, he's been around for a long time. 1939 was when the first Blue Beetle was created. And then the second Blue Beetle, which is the one I was kind of familiar with as a man named Ted Kord, or a character named Ted Kord. He was created in 1966. And then he was the Blue Beetle that I kind of knew up until Jaime Reyes' inception, which, you know, that came in 2006. And I checked out that comic this week, his debut comic. And let me throw up the image on the screen so those of you watching can check it out. Here we go. So there we go. There's his first comic. I read that this week. I don't know. It was a pretty good read. I think that the character got better as I, you know, progressed. Like I read some stuff from 2013, from 2018, and it was better. But I enjoyed it. So, you know what? I've just noticed I'm doing this by myself. So I'm going to the comments here. The Yesenia's in the comments. I appreciate that. Brittany's in the comments. Thanks for joining. Yeah, Yesenia, she's right. Sholo was great. He's great in this movie. He's got a lot of charisma, and he plays the comedy stuff pretty well. I really think that they made the right call with this character. And that's, like I said, continuing him on with James Gunn in the DCU just makes all the sense in the world. Here's a comment. Had a good craft or two. That's cool. Yeah, I saw it tonight, Yesenia, and it was a pretty, you know, it's like the theater I went to was about a third full, but the people who were into it were really engaged. So that was fun to experience. And let me just kind of get to it, like my thoughts on the movie. You know, I should point out that this movie is it's the first live action superhero film starring a Latino lead. And, you know, the film really embraces and kind of highlights Hispanic culture. And I think because of that, I think the movie is going to do a lot better at the box office than it was projected to do. I could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before. I thought The Flash was going to do really well. Obviously, it's one of the biggest flops in the history of movies, not just comic movies, but in the history of movies. I still love it. But I think this movie is actually going to do better than projected. And, you know, this movie, honestly, I enjoyed it way more than I expected. I don't think the trailers really did this movie justice. The trailers do highlight the family aspect of the movie. You know, Jaime is this college graduate who graduated from Gotham Law, which I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, little Easter egg to mention that he went to school at Gotham City. He comes home to Palmera City, which in the comics, he was based in El Paso, Texas. So they made the change for the film. And I think in some of the later comics, they also had him living in Palmera City. And Palmera City is kind of like, it looks kind of like Miami, maybe. So I can understand why they decided to, you know, not use El Paso, because, you know, it just, I think that Palmera is more, you know, you have a lot of water. There's surroundings that just kind of played better on film than El Paso. But I did like one of the Easter eggs in the movie is where his family lives in Palmera. They live on El Paso Street. And so they showed the street sign. So that was cool to see. But like I said, the family stuff is really highlighted, and Jaime returns home from college. He's got to find a job, comes back to find his family. And while he was off at college, a lot of things have happened. His, uh, they're, his family, they're going to lose their house. The rent was tripled. So they're going to have to move. And his dad has had a heart attack and they didn't tell him anything about this and all this stuff is happening. And so him and his sister are trying to find jobs together and he ends up going to, getting a job working for Cord Industries where he's doing odd jobs or whatever. And he meets up with Jenny Cord and she gives him the scarab, which, the scarab is this alien technology that, it's an alien relic that, gives him his powers, right? So it chooses Jaime to be its host and it like grafts itself to his body. It attaches itself to his spinal cord, like, which is, it's crazy to see that, but it gives him this like super, super powered suit. It's almost like a Marvel fan, like to compare it to Blue Beetle. It's like Iron Man meets Spider-Man with Venom kind of mixed in there too, because you have the symbiote of the scarab, which the scarab has a name. It's named Kajida and it's voiced by Becky G, who is she's a singer. She's a actress also, but she does the voice and her voice work is very much in the line of like Jarvis or, Edith from the Avengers from the MCU movie. So it's she's got this robotic voice, but, basically the scarab is this alien technology that is, it's like this world destroying type weapon that finds its way to Jaime Reyes and he has to, he's chosen by it. And so that's how he becomes the Blue Beetle and he has these powers. And it's interesting because like I mentioned, he's the third Blue Beetle. Well, the first Blue Beetle was Dan Garrett, this character who was an archaeologist and who found, he discovered the scarab and, it gave him powers and, like I said, he was in the 30s and all the way up to like the 80s or through the 60s to the 80s as the character. And that character, I got a message here. That character, he had powers. Like he could fly and he had like super strength and all this kind of stuff, but he didn't have the scarab necessarily attached to him. And then the second person who played the Blue Beetle was Ted Kord, and Ted Kord didn't have any powers. Ted Kord is like a Batman kind of character. He's this genius, this tech genius who, created all these gadgets and all these devices, and all that stuff plays well in the movie. It's pretty fun to see that stuff come into play, like the Beetle, the flying bug ship, which George Lopez's character, his character is Rudy Reyes, and he is he's Jaime's uncle, and he's like kind of like the tech genius for the family. So he gets to fly the bug ship, and I don't know. It was really cool to see all that stuff kind of come into play, all these gadgets, because Ted Kord didn't have the powers, and then now Jaime has the powers where he has this super suit where he can basically do anything. It's like whatever he puts his mind to, he can do. He can fly. He can create all kinds of weapons. And, he's trying to save his family. He's trying to save, save his family, save Jenny Cord, who is, the villains in the movie. Maybe that's kind of the weakest part of the movie, if I'm being honest. Like, so the main villain is Susan Sarandon. She plays Victoria Cord. She is Ted Cord's sister, and she's the aunt of Jenny Cord. And in the movie, Ted Cord is missing. We never see Ted Cord. And although I thought we were going to see him like in a post-credit scene, but we don't. We do see, however, we see a mid-credit scene where he basically, like, you hear his voice, and he's like, "Hey, if you found this, I'm alive. I'm out there." But we never see him. So I was interested to see if like they were going to give us like who could be Ted Kord. There was some speculation I saw recently that it might be Jason Sudeikis. I I think solely because he plays Ted Lasso, and people were thinking like, well, Ted Lasso, Ted Kord. I don't know if they thought it's like a joke or something, and who knows, but I have a feeling we will see Ted Kord in the DCU going forward as kind of like a mentor character to the young Jaime Reyes. So anyway, that's just some of the things that I liked. Let me go back to the chat and see what we got here. So Yesenia she brings up a good point, or she mentions like she thinks it's better than Black Adam. I agree. I totally agree. In fact, I'll reveal my rankings here in a little bit for the DCU, or the DCEU. Sorry, it's honestly like so annoying. Like they should have just like, it should have been the DCU from the beginning and not done this DCEU stuff. But like I was saying, the villains are not the best. So Victoria Court, you know, she's like the evil boss lady. And her right-hand man is this character, Carapax, who is also known as the indestructible man, but he's never referred to that in the movie. But Carapax, the thing with the Victoria Court, she's trying to develop her own super suit. And what she's trying to create is this thing called OMAC, which is a DC character. And OMAC, the acronym standing for One Man Army Corps. And it was cool to see that brought into this movie, because like I said, I read some comics this week and OMAC is a part of several of these comic stories. And OMAC is a part of many DC stories, but it was cool to see that brought to the big screen. And I really felt like this movie did a good job of introducing a lot of, or bringing in a lot of DC concepts. And they all kind of made sense. It was all like really well done. And OMAC was a part of that. Anyway, what OMAC is basically she's trying to create super soldiers with like kind of like weird looking Iron Man kind of suits. And she needs the Scarab because of the Scarab. This is this alien technology. You know, it's a very comic book thing where it's like she's trying to use the Scarab to take its power or get its code or whatever so that she can take the code and then, you know, use it for her super suits. And her guy, Carapax, he gets the super suit. So he's like Miguel, Jaime's main rival throughout the movie. They fight a few times until the very end where Carapax turns on Victoria and they both die, which I was surprised to see that the two villains died. And it was all those things where there's a massive explosion. So it's like, you don't see them die, but I'm pretty sure those two characters are gone. And like I said, with the DCEU ending soon, hopefully the family, Jaime's family continues, like his mom and obviously George Lopez's character and his sister Milagro. And obviously the grandmother, Nana, she was a highlight of the movie. I definitely think that those characters will continue they should continue in the DCU. But speaking of deaths, and again, I'm just spoiling everything and I'm kind of just, like I said, I just got back from seeing the movie. So I'm just kind of rambling here off the top of my head, but I was very surprised in the film that Jaime's dad dies in the movie. Like he has a heart attack. And he dies in the middle of a scene where Victoria Corps has sent her like soldiers to the Reyes home to find Jaime and get the Scarab. And he just like dies in the middle of the movie. And I was really surprised by that. Cause I would think the family's going to make it through the first movie, but not everybody made it through. So, anyway, that was a surprise. No doubt. That was definitely a surprise. So I did mention before that the first Blue Beetle was named Dan Garrett, and Dan Garrett was referenced in the movie. I did enjoy that. Basically the way they explained the passing of the Scarab was that Garrett had the Scarab. He died. he kind of passed on the information to Ted Kord. Ted Kord, however, was not chosen to have it, but he was able to take the Scarab's knowledge and create all this technology, which you see come into play. He creates all these kind of weapons and these special watches, and there's like a crazy bubblegum scene, which you just kind of have to see to kind of understand. And anyway, from there, Ted Kord goes missing in the storyline, and then Victoria Kord finds the Scarab, and then now she's, you know, her evil plan is put in action when Jenny, who is, that's Ted Kord's daughter, and Victoria Kord, her niece. She wants to continue her dad's legacy and not her evil aunt's legacy, and so she steals the Scarab, gives it to Jaime, and then Jaime, it chooses him, and he becomes, he has the burden of this, this now become the superhero out of nowhere. And, it's a pretty good story. I enjoyed the movie quite a bit. Like I said, I read a lot of the comics this week, and I was surprised the movie didn't include a couple of characters that were in the comics. In the comics, Jaime has two school friends, and maybe it's because in the comics that I read, he's a high schooler. And so, I guess, having him be a college graduate in the movie, they age him up. So maybe that's why they didn't have his friends, but he has two friends from high school, Brenda and Paco. And these are like major characters in these comics. And I was surprised that they didn't, there was no reference to them in the movie, which is kind of strange. Also, I keep mentioning the Scarab. Well, the Scarab is from this alien race known as the Reach. And there's only one brief reference to the Reach. And basically Jaime just says, like, he's talking about his life, and he's like, maybe that's just out of my reach or whatever. And it was kind of a throwaway line, but I'm sure they chose that wording for a reason. But the reach is not explained, which I think is fine, because you can kind of get too much of the comic mumbo jumbo can kind of gum up the system and can get people like, what is this even about? But I think the movie did a good job of like picking and choosing what to take from the comics. There's just a couple things that I think that they could have like referenced and maybe gotten away with. Let's see. Going to this movie, I'd heard that there were a lot of like references to other DC characters, and I didn't really notice a ton of them. Obviously, Batman is referenced a couple of times. Like I said, Jaime went to Gotham Law, and he has like a Gotham Law hoodie, so obviously Gotham City is a thing. And I also heard that like Man of Steel was going to be referenced, which I thought that'd be kind of weird considering that. I mean, the way they set the movie, the director and the writer and just the whole team did a good job of making this movie to where it's like, yes, superheroes do exist. They do say Superman, they say, oh, I can fly like Superman or whatever. And Batman is a thing, but they don't say who is Batman or who is Superman. They don't show those characters. So they do a good job of like making it like it's, the movie is it's encapsulated into itself, right? It's not really connected. It could be connected if they want to connect it to the DCEU, but it's not really connected. And I think that's why they can easily take it and then continue the character on in the new universe. So a good job with that. If somebody in the chat could saw something that I missed, please let me know. Cindy here says, the suit. Yeah, the suit sequence was fun. Yeah, when he first gets the suit, that's awesome. Really, all the stuff with the suit was great. I thought the movie looked really good too. Like I was kind of worried because, like I mentioned before, it was supposed to be a streaming movie, and they decided let's throw some cash at it. Let's actually put it in theaters, and it looked a lot better than I thought it was going to look. And that's part also. Like I think the trailers made the movie seem kind of cheesy with the family stuff, but the family stuff was really like well done. And it was like certainly the heart of the movie was his love for his family and how involved his family was, not only in his life, but also in the story. And I thought like, oh, this is going to be kind of cheesy, but they like the movie really plays it very well. And I thought the runtime was pretty good. Like it, the movie kind of flew by for me. I mean, 2 hours and 7 minutes is kind of like perfect for these movies. This movie, yeah, it kind of went by fast. It's all, I'm honestly like having trouble trying to remember everything that kind of happened that I really want to touch on. I would say that something I didn't want to point out. I always like to talk about casting stuff. And so I mentioned before, Susan Sarandon plays Victoria Cord. And I was reading that originally Sharon Stone was considered for the role. And I'm like, I wonder if the movie would have been better. I'm not sure. I haven't seen Sharon Stone in a long time. I thought that while the villains aren't that strong, I thought that Susan Sarandon did a good job as the villain, like as the evil boss lady that, you're actually hoping she dies. But, and then Jaime has this thing where, and it's the common thing for heroes where heroes are not supposed to kill. Right. So he definitely could kill, he could take these bad guys out because he has the power to do anything with this suit. He doesn't do it. However, like I said before, Carapax, who is Victoria's evil henchman, he turns against her and he doesn't mind killing because he's done some killing before in his life. And also they kind of give you a quick backstory of that character. He's had this traumatic life where he saw his mom die in front of him. And he was basically like taken in by Victoria, who kind of raised him to be this like soldier / test subject. And, he's just, like I said, he's a lab rat for her to test this OMAC system, which she hopes to perfect it. And then obviously create, thousands of super soldiers with this tech that she's getting from the Scarab. And, that's a good point. Yeah. So, Yesenia nailed it here. Yeah. Right. So why Jaime doesn't want to kill, his family doesn't have that problem. Yeah. Cause they're gunning people down. The grandma with the machine gun. Yeah. She was great with the machine gun. George Lopez in the bug ship, just like stomping on people. And the bug ship looked awesome. It looked so good. Like, I mean, I know it wasn't like I don't think it was a practical thing they created, but it looked really good. Like it, I mean, when it was flying, definitely it was obviously not a real thing, but when it was on the ground, it's like walking and crushing these people. It looked cool. I don't know how they did it. I'd like to see that because, I doubt it was like a fully practical thing, but they made it work and it, I don't know. I was impressed. Definitely impressed by that. Let's see. I guess the next thing I'll just talk about is the ranking. Let me go to my rankings. Let's rank them. I love to rank stuff, especially the DCEU, and my DCEU I'm always updating it. I'm always changing it. So let's take a look at the updated rankings after seeing Blue Beetle tonight. So here we go. Here's my DCEU rankings. So obviously I really enjoyed this Blue Beetle movie. It checks in at number 6 for me. So my number 1, still The Flash. Number 2, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Number 3, Shazam, the first one. My number 4 is the first Wonder Woman movie. Number 5 is The Suicide Squad, the James Gunn movie. Number 6 is Blue Beetle. Number 7 is Man of Steel. Number 8, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Number 9, Wonder Woman, 1984. Number 10, Aquaman. Number 11, Justice League, the 2017 theatrical cut. My number 12 is Black Adam. My number 13 is Shazam Fury of the Gods. Number 14, Suicide Squad. Number 15 is the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie, which is brutal. I will never watch that movie again. So anyway, tell me what you think about my list. If you agree, if you don't, I'd like to see what, because honestly, these movies are fascinating to me because the tone is so like wildly different, you know. That's, I mean, the MCU has been successful for many reasons, but one of the main reasons is they've had a consistent tone across the board. You know, we're 32 movies into the MCU and they all have a certain kind of feel to them. Now, they're not all the same as far as quality level, but you watch an MCU movie, you go, that's an MCU movie. It feels like that. Whereas the DCEU is all over the place. And that's a product of, they didn't really have a plan. They didn't have like that one kind of architect or figurehead who was like, you know, steering the ship the whole way. And I really think that while this year, you know, you've had Shazam Fear of the Gods, which I wasn't a big fan of, as you can see on my list. And then you had Flash, which the Flash I thought was excellent. It was easily my favorite DCEU movie. And of course, I'm in the minority in that respect. And then you have this movie. I feel like the last three or four, even Black Adam, I like the tone. The tone was more consistent. And I feel like that's, we're going to see more of that. I think it'll be better in the DCU with James Gunn running the show. I feel like, I mean, look at the Guardians movies. They're so well done. And he had a tone through that he carried on through. And I feel like DC is actually in good hands with James Gunn. And I think that, and you know, but looking back on the DCEU, I don't like, there were good movies in there. There were definitely great actors in there, great castings. And I don't think it was like, I mean, it could be salvageable. Honestly, I think that some of these characters could potentially end up in the new DC universe. And I think they could work, but I think it's, again, you got to establish a consistent tone and stick with that tone. And I think this movie had a good tone. I think this is the kind of thing DC should have been doing from the beginning. And these solo films where you're introducing a character to people that don't know much about the character. And then you build off that. I think this movie does that really well. It gave people that know a lot about the character, like little Easter eggs and things to kind of look for. But then, and people like me who didn't know much about the character until this week, I'm actually really interested in this character. I think that Blue Beetle does have a lot of great qualities. He's got a suit that's cool, like Iron Man. He is a, you know, I mean, he's a teenager in the comics mostly, but he's a college kid. He's a younger person. So he kind of has that like Spider-Man feel to him. And I think it's a great character. And I think that it'll be fun to see that character explored with a new Superman, with a new Batman, with all these new characters that we're going to get in the DC universe. And, you know, if Jason Momoa continues as Aquaman in this universe, if they can make the story make sense, I'm okay with that. If Gal Gadot returns as Wonder Woman, that's cool too. Like I don't think you have to throw everything away from the DCEU. I think that you just got to set a tone and stick with it. And then, you know, just tell the stories. And all these are great characters. It's not like Marvel doesn't have better characters. Marvel just has better storytellers running their film division. That's the main difference. Because the characters, both characters from both companies and other comic companies, they're all very similar. I mean, hell, a lot of them were created by the same people. You know, like the guy that created Thanos, before he created Thanos, he created Darkseid. That's why Darkseid and Thanos look the same. Like, basically, like it's not a coincidence, you know? Anyway, that's just kind of my little mini rant on the DC versus Marvel movie situation. I like them all, honestly. I'd love to see more of the movies. I know people have superhero fatigue, or they say they do, and I think that's more of the movies aren't as good fatigue, more so than the superhero fatigue. But anyway, maybe I'm in the more minority with that too, because again, I like The Flash, so whatever. But I really like this movie too. Blue Beetle was a fun watch. I think that I think word of mouth is going to be pretty strong for this movie. I think that a lot of people are going to go, yeah, you know, it's better than it looked on the previews, on the trailers. And I would recommend go and check it out. it's worth a watch. And yeah. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining me for this quick kind of off the cuff live stream, just kind of stream of consciousness, my thoughts from the movie. Thank you, Yesenia and Brittany, in the comment section. Really appreciate that. And also, I want to make sure to point out that we're on social media, so give us a follow there. We always appreciate that. Let me throw up the graphic here. Brittany worked really hard on the graphic. Let me throw it up there. So, as you probably know, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, which I guess is known as X now. Who knows? We're on Instagram and we're on Threads now at Watchers Basement. So give us a follow there. We appreciate it. And if you're gonna be on social media, be sure to use the hashtag Watchers Basement. And while I'm doing this now on YouTube, we also have audio versions of our podcast. So give us a listen, check us out. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, and we're on Google Podcasts. So, check us out there, give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate it. And once again, just want to say thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, and go see Blue Beetle. It's pretty fun. And anyway, have a good night. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.